7. I'm going to read the first few verses. I encourage you in your own time to read all of Psalm 27. But for our purposes today, I'm going to stop at verse 3. So this is Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. This is the gift of righteousness. We're going to continue talking about boasting in the Lord, which is what I couldn't get to the last time we gathered together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Why? Again, at the beginning, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Okay, Romans chapter 4. I want to start at the very end, but where I really want to get to is Romans chapter 5. Okay, but I want to start at the very end. I'm reading this in the NASB. The New King James and the King James says it slightly differently, but where we really want to get to is the later part of this. In verse 19, it says, without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Okay? He was fully assured that what God had said God would perform. Therefore, okay, for this reason, it was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. And now we're in Romans chapter 5, okay? Norm, can you just maybe give Anne a hand in case she doesn't know where we are? Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, okay? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult, we rejoice, we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we also exult, rejoice, boast in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only this, but we also exult, we also rejoice, we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Okay, so we've been talking about the gift of righteousness. God has given us a gift called righteousness. And in the messages prior to this, we've talked about the fact that one way we can think about the world and the things that are going on in it is that it has a righteousness problem, i.e., it does not behave how God behaves. It's not behaving. It's not choosing. It's not prioritizing what God prioritizes. Yes, it is because of sin having entered the world. But for the sake of this series, I wanted to set it up as the issue is righteousness. Okay? The issue is righteousness. And God has done something whereby we who have believed into Jesus have been given the gift of righteousness. That starts off with a standing with Him that is to progress in our lives in such a way that we begin to behave like God. I'm not saying we are God, but our reaction to the things that happen are like God's reactions to the things that happen. Okay? That should not be too much of a stretch for you if you know things from the Scriptures. You've been made alive and put in, and His Spirit has been put in you. So why is it so surprising that we who have believed into Jesus will begin to behave like Jesus? Okay? That was the goal. It says in Hebrews that He is the firstborn of many brethren. Many brothers and sisters, really. Right? That word brethren is not just male. He was the firstborn. The implication there is God wants lots of Jesuses. His Spirit has been put in you. And now you and I are His agents, His representatives here on the earth. Okay? So that should not be a stretch. But let's see how this works out. The first place that we have to come to is that we are justified not by how well we behave. By getting our acts straight, we are justified by faith. Romans chapter 5, the build-up in Romans chapter 4 was setting the stage by comparing us to what God had done for Abraham, showing us a similarity. Abraham, who could never have deserved what God promised, was considered righteous. It was credited to him as righteousness when he believed. Let me put it slightly differently. When he responded to what God was like. Okay? Whenever we talk about believing or faith, at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is a response to what God has made known about Himself. In the case of Abraham, he was fully assured that what God had said, he was able to perform. He can do this. He can do this. He can do this. And that's what it was credited to him as righteousness. Faith is always a response to Him, to God. Okay? It is not we find things in the Bible and just force ourselves to believe. I understand that we need to go to the Bible, that we need to believe what He says, but at its root is that verse that says, by His wounds we've been healed. He provides all of my needs according to His riches and glory. My faith is really a response to God who said those things. He is the God who is true. He is God who is able. He is God who has sorted out the issues concerning me so that it is possible for Him to do this. Faith is always a response to God. Okay? Always. And it says in Romans chapter 5, therefore having been justified by faith, by our responding to God, by believing what God has said about Jesus and the blood that He shed, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I finished the last time that I had with you in this by making a point by saying, your believing this, that you've been justified and that you have peace with God, will change how you react to the things that happen in life. Okay? And, you know, already in our service, we've had testimony to that. That how we react to the stuff of life, to the things that happen in life, the things that are unexpected, the things that we weren't deserving, things that, maybe even stuff, the trouble that comes because we made poor choices, whatever it is, how we respond to it is an indication of what we think about this passage here. Okay? Do I really have peace with God? Or let me break that down. What do I mean, do I have peace with God? Is God really going to back me? Is God really going to support me? Or is God also against me in this? Okay? Now, I think you could make, you could paint a picture of God being opposed to you in this sense. You are determined to do something that will harm you or somebody else. Well, God's not going to clap and say, yes, I want you to do that. He's not going to back you in that regard. But the way He deals with a son or a daughter is different than the way He deals with somebody who has not put his trust in the Lord yet, right? A son or a daughter God being opposed to is more with a view to training you, disciplining you to choose the way of a son or a daughter of the Lord. In the world, he, because they have not received the reconciliation that God has purchased for them in Jesus, he has a different reaction to them. Okay? It is not to say that he's against them, that he hates them. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, but also for the whole world. He is the Savior of all. He purchased the justification of life for all people. So God is not mad at people. Okay? He wants to rescue them. Okay? But what we are getting to, you and I who have believed into Jesus, that's where all of this starts. If you haven't believed into Jesus, this is just philosophy. You know, it's just nice talk. Christianese, if you'd like. But if you have believed into Jesus, this is getting at something that is just so critical. God is for you. So if God is for you, what should your reaction be in the face of trouble? Right? Here, he uses the word, in the NASB, he uses the word exalt. Okay? The Greek is the Greek word, not that I'm a Greek scholar, but it's kaukamai. I think it was the way it's put it. And it yes, you could say rejoice, but it doesn't carry the strength of it. I think I mentioned this to you before. The word hallelujah, okay, means more than praise the Lord. It does mean praise the Lord, but it's also, you have to convey the attitude of it. It was like a battle cry. Praise the Lord! Why? Because he's with us. We're going to win. Okay, that was the sense of it. So when you say hallelujah, and you do not mean that, then you're misusing that word, right? Oh, hallelujah. If you are not thinking about, God is with us and for us, and he's going to support us in this, then you're misusing that word, okay? Well, the idea here in this kauchamai in the Greek, yes, you can say rejoice, but it's this, yeah, God is with us. My boast is in the Lord. Okay? So I went to Psalm 27. It sort of paints the picture of what Chauchamai is supposed to say. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. What should I dread? Okay? This is the idea that's presented here about boasting. Now look what he says. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. We boast in our tribulations. We boast just in God himself. Why? Because of the revelation that is here. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. So you wake up tomorrow and you know, I don't know, if you're married, let's paint a picture of, you had an argument with your wife, you went to bed mad, you wake up mad. Okay? Is God mad at you? Is God against you? No, absolutely not. That's what this is getting at. That's what this is getting at. As has already been shared among us during our fellowship time, trouble has a way of speaking very loudly to us. So much so that it dominates the way we think. And what God is revealing here is that if you grasp a hold of this, you will never allow trouble to dominate you. Yes, you may be tempted in the moment, but you can quickly come back to, yeah, but what's really normal about me is this. God is for me. God is for me. In other words, everything in your life is to be tackled. Tackled may not always be the right word. You know, you're about to go to a celebration. That's not something to be tackled. It's something to be involved with. Whatever is going on in your life, it is to be approached. It is to be handled with this revelation. God is for me. God is for me. Whatever the trouble is, even if I'm responsible for the trouble, God is for me. Okay? Now, I want you to be careful when I say if you're responsible for the trouble and God is for you, I don't mean that he won't discipline you, that there won't be things that you have to change and things like that. But in the resolution of it, God is for you. The one thing that you should immediately embrace is whatever else is going on, God is not against me. I have access to him. It says here, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And in view of all of that, we boast in the Lord. Okay? Again, let's break that down. We have peace with God. How? By believing Jesus. Having believed, God has reconciled us to himself. There is no more reason for God to be against you. So are you working towards the restoration of some part of your body in health, for example? Are you working through trouble at work? Are you working through situations that are difficult? Well, this much you know, God is for you in it. Having believed, God backs me in it. God supports me. When you look at the things that, for example, Paul in the book of Acts did, how he approached things, you remember that, you know, he would go into a town, people would start to believe him, then people who were still committed to a Jewish way of thinking would get upset and stir the crowd up against him to the point where sometimes they would throw rocks at him, right? There was one situation where they stoned him. They threw rocks at him, and it looked like he was dead, and the brethren came around, and he got up and went back in. He didn't run away. He went back in, right? And you see in him, wherever he went, this thought of, well, but God's with me. Like, I'm in charge, if I could put it that way, not the circumstance. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, not what the circumstance tells me to do. Why? Because God backs me. You don't find a man who's hoping God backs him. Everything he did with this confidence, this determination that flows from God is for me. Now, I know that you and I are not the same as Paul in the sense of what we are called to, but are we different in terms of God being for us? Absolutely not. This is how, as you sink your roots, as you sink your, the figure of speech we use, as you sink your teeth into this reality, Jesus did something so thorough that forevermore God will never be against me. Not merely that he's not against me, God is for me. Okay, do you understand there's a difference between, okay, well, I'll leave you alone and I'll back you in this. Okay, let's go. What do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? Let's go. I'm with you. I'm with you. He won't force us. He won't bully us. Yes, but as we step forward, he's with us. So as you sink your teeth into this, the way you think about your life will change. You'll go from, oh, no, to a boasting in the Lord, not in the, look how great I am. I got my act together. No. Our source of confidence cannot be anything in me. Psalm 27, I am my light and my salvation, is not what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Whom shall I dread? So, I think I'm over a few more minutes. So, how do we react then to life? How do we then react to life? Well, again, it starts with believing that Jesus did something so thorough, so overwhelmingly complete, that God is right in saying, I back you. Okay? I mean, he has no reason now to not back you. If you want to put it in the inverse way. He completely swallowed up every reason why God would be against you, opposed to you, not for you. He swallowed it up at the cross. The certificate of debt and decrees that were made against us was nailed to the cross. So how could God calculate, no, I'm not backing you. Take a hike. Why would he ever think this way? Well, that's what trouble, that's what situations, that's what your adversary would like you to conclude from trouble. Okay? When you wake up and your car is dead, is that a sign of God's displeasure?
Yeah, of course it is. Because if you liked me, then everything would be fine. I wouldn't have trouble. False. In this world, you will have trouble. Period. But take courage. I've overcome the world. Well, how does that help me? I've overcome the world, and I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm for you. We've talked about this a number of times in church already, but I'll remind you, you have a part to play in the working out of God's will in any situation and circumstance. This is what the devil tries to derail, that by cunning manipulation and making circumstances seem big and making your mistakes seem huge, he maneuvers you to a place where you will not play your part, and so then God waits for you. It's very important we agree with God that the will of God does not automatically work out concerning you and concerning what God wants to do through you. You've got a part to play. You've got to step out, as it were. Okay? Well, this is one of the aspects of that is us coming back to this. Do you remember Abraham was continually reassured what God has said he would do, he'll do. Okay? That's how he progressed from where he started out in the Lord to where he got to by the time Abraham could sacrifice his son Isaac. Okay? He grew strong in faith, responding, feeding on what God had revealed about himself. So likewise with you and me, we grow strong in faith concerning this by reassuring, by being continually feeding on what Jesus has done that makes it possible for God to be for us. He is our Father. Right? The picture that the scriptures continually paint is a relationship that is completely secure because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So whatever you're going through, part of it in dealing with it has to go back to, yeah, but because of Jesus, God is for me in this. Because of Jesus, God is with me in this. Because of Jesus, there is a way through this for me. Nothing is impossible for the one who believes. Nothing is impossible for the one who believes him. Nothing is impossible for the one who believes him. Why? Because God himself backs you. God himself backs you. Okay? I'm going to stop there, but I point out to you that this section in Romans chapter 5, this starts with a therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Follows into, so here's what that means for how we deal with life. We can boast. We can boast. Not by boasting and pretending that God is for us, we'll convince God to be for us. Okay? Do you understand that that's sometimes how Christians live? I'll praise him, and by praising him enough, then maybe God will be on my side. What an idiotic thing to say. God is already on your side. Praising him is not going to get you get him to be on your side, right? That's not what praise does. So we don't try to get God to be who he's already. We don't get God to be at peace with us through our actions when he's already at peace with us because of the blood of Jesus and our faith in him. So we come back there. We need to always come back to this place. This thought about the blood of Jesus is continually referred to in the scriptures. And, for example, it says in Hebrews that we can have our consciences sprinkled clean. Okay, what does that mean? The conscience is the part of you that's aware of things. And when it's not clean, you are more aware of the things you've done wrong than you are of what Jesus has done right for you. So what needs to happen? Does Jesus need to die again? No! The thing about you that's aware of things has to be reset. How does it get reset? Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that is speaking on my behalf. That all my mistakes were all laid bare before you well before I ever made those mistakes, and you covered them. As far as the east is from the west, so far has the blood of Jesus caused my sins to be away from me. How blessed is the one whose sins have been forgiven. This is what we do. We reset. We reset. We let our consciences be reset so that we can hear the Lord say, I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm for you. And then we boast. Whatever is going on, we have to carry with us the hallelujah, meaning God is my success. God is my victory here. Yeah, there's stuff I got to work out, no question. I'm not the brightest. I'm the least of all saints, as Paul would say. Okay? But nevertheless, even for the least of all saints, God is more than enough. Okay? My hope is not in me. My hope is in the living God who has reconciled me to him with precious blood. It's not a mood thing. It's not because God is in a good mood. It is because this has been paid for. Okay? It is done. It is an accounting matter now. Paid? Yes. Then it's yours. Right? You go to buy a shirt. You pay the money. You don't take the shirt. Why? I don't feel I deserve it. You paid! What the store requires has been given. What judgment requires has been given. So, of course he is for you. And this is how you reset. Because, come on, if you're anything like me, you can wake up or you can have a circumstance, and especially when you realize, this is because I was foolish. This is because I didn't do what God said to do way back when, that this is happening. In the face of that, if you're anything like me, and I think you are, because I'm not a giraffe and you are humans, we're all humans, there's that flavor of you deserve this. There's a flavor of you deserve this. Well, you got to deal with that. I do deserve it, but hallelujah, the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf, and God is for me, and this will be turned to my good. Do you remember David running for his life in Ziklag? And he comes back home and he finds the enemy has even taken this. And he just wants to cry. And what's worse is his buddies want to kill him because they think it's his fault. What does he do? He strengthens himself in the Lord. And then he turns the tables. Why? Because God was for him. If God is for me, then what does it matter how many people came and took my family away? I'm going after them. That is a picture of who you and I are to be as we sink our roots into having been justified. I have peace with God. He is for me in this. Okay? So as this week unfolds, make use of this. Okay? Never feel bad that you feel guilty. Just deal with it. Okay? You wake up and you feel guilty. Well, yeah, the devil is very good at accusing. Deal with it. How? Father, I just thank you for the blood of Jesus speaking on my behalf. If there is a way in me, if there really is an attitude in me that you want to correct, I'm willing. I'm willing to say, Father, change me. I'm willing to change my mind about it. But I'm starting from this place that the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf and you are for me. I just don't want you to be hindered in me. That's why I want my attitude changed. But I'm going to assume you're just for me. I don't care whether I feel like it or not. You are for me. So what do you want me to do? How can I move forward in this? Because you intend for me to win. You intend for me to win. You will never face a battle that God leads you into that you are not meant to win. I'm not guaranteeing that you win because that has to do with you. But if it comes across you and God is for you, then what's supposed to be the outcome there? 2 plus 1 billion is a lot more than 2. It's a lot more than 3. You face a situation where you need 4 and you've got 2. Plus 10 billion. Is it going to be a problem? No. So likewise, if God is for you, who is against you? That is not to be a nice thing that we put on an Instagram post. It is to be how I govern my life. In view of Jesus' blood speaking on my behalf, God is for me. How do I tackle this? How do I press into this? Okay? Father, again, win us over to your side. Win us over to your way of thinking about what Jesus has done and thereby transform us because our minds are being renewed to it, that we may do the impossible. It is your will that we walk in impossible things, that people like us, little people like us, would walk in the impossible all because of Jesus and that Jesus would be glorified thereby. Well, here we are, Father. We're willing to run. We're willing to walk. We're willing to crawl. We're willing to take another step from where we are at in these things. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to work with us. Bring us into what is ours because of Jesus. And we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you can say amen.